Let us turn in our Bibles to Psalm 20 as our text, as our scripture reading this morning. Psalm 20. We'll read together the whole of the psalm as our text, our scripture reading this morning. So let us hear together the word of our God. Psalm 20, beginning reading at verse 1. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of God, the God of Jacob, defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt offerings. Grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation. In the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now I know that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord. Let the King hear us when we call. Amen. Thus far the reading of the word of our God. May he add his blessing to it. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, we often think either of earthly things or of heavenly things. Too often we do not mix the two. David in this psalm is praying for help in an earthly problem. Yet his prayer does not stop there. It is a prayer for God's eternal salvation blessings upon his people. In the trenches, in the trial, in the trouble of our lives, our focus is not only to be on our earthly cares, but to look to remember God's eternal hand of blessing on us. And so, brothers and sisters, our prayers as they come before the Lord are to request and to trust in his care, not just our own hands and power. And so as we look at the psalm this morning, we see David praying to the Lord for certainly an earthly problem. But at that same time, our God is also showing to us our need and our trust in the Almighty God each and every day of our lives. The psalmist, the theme that we want to see this morning, the psalmist prays for the Lord's salvation blessings upon his people. The psalmist prays for the Lord's salvation blessings upon his people. We will see 3 points about this theme in this passage this morning. First of all, we see in verses 1 through 3, the blessing of the Lord's care for us. In verses 4 through 6, we will see the blessing of the Lord's salvation. And then in verses 7 through 9, we will see the blessing of trusting in the Lord. The blessing of trusting in the Lord. The psalmist prays for the Lord's salvation blessings upon his people. First of all, in verses 1 through 3, we see the blessing of the Lord's care. The Lord hear thee, David prays, in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob, defend thee. Brothers and sisters, we have defense in trouble. As we look back over our lives, we can see that. And so as we look forward both upon this earth and eternity, we can know that. We know who is Almighty God by God's grace. And so, brothers and sisters, as we look to the Lord in trouble, we know his defense. If we remember Elisha in 2 Kings 6, verses 16 and 17, they were outnumbered. The city of Samaria was surrounded by the enemy. And we read, so he answered, do not fear, For those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Brothers and sisters, if our mind is just upon the mundane, the earthly things of this world, we don't see the whole picture. If our minds, our eyes are clouded only to see the physical world, we don't know what's going on in this world. Because we must understand that we have the blessing of the Lord's care for us. God protects us. When we have an event that's a trial and a trouble in this world, and that ends, too often we say, that's over. I can forget about that. We saw a couple of weeks ago when we were looking at those videos, at that video, what did the Israelites do? What did God call them to do? They were to set up stones, standing stones, so that when you come past that point, you remember what happened there. And when others see that, they can ask the question, why is that stone standing weird like that? So we remember. So we know what God has done for us. So we see that it is God's hand protecting us. And that hand is never removed. God cares for us. The idea here, the defense that God is talking about here, is to be set high out of danger. God delivers us. God cares for us and delivers us out of earthly danger. God delivers us from the heavenly danger as well, to which we were exposed. He sends His Son to save us. Heidelberg Catechism 38, why did He suffer under Pontius Pilate as judge? That is Christ. That He, being innocent, might be condemned by the temporal judge and thereby deliver us from the severe judgment of God, which we deserve, to which we were exposed. God has defended us not only upon this earth. As Paul says in Romans 8, He who gave His only begotten Son, how much more shall He with Him give us every good gift? And so, brothers and sisters, when we see things on this earth and we say, ooh, that's a tough thing, we have to remember what God has done for us upon this earth, but also in eternity in Christ Jesus. And so He is a defense for us in trouble. We have our strength from the sanctuary. Verse 2, send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Where do we run when danger strikes and battle and hardship strikes? Do we trust in our own strength? Because that's foolishness. Our first impulse ought to be to fall to our knees, trusting in God's strength. That's one of the main focuses of this psalm. Trusting in God's name, in His strength. Where is God's true sanctuary? Where does this prayer go? It's to heaven. God's heavenly help is much greater than any power of man, even the most powerful army on earth. We remember David and the Philistine, Goliath, 1 Samuel 17:45 through 47. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with sword and spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the bird of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with the sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. Brothers and sisters, we ought to have the faith of David, who hears from heaven, there is a God in Israel, God's almighty hand, and so we need not fear. Our strength, even for our very breath, comes from the Lord. And so, when we cry out to the Lord, we cry out to His sanctuary for help. Notice where He brings His mind. He doesn't say, I'm worried about this earth, send some people from somewhere strong. That was the impulse of Israel. Go down to Egypt or to Babylon or to someone else, Assyria, whoever was the strong army at the time. And so often that's the same idea for us. David calls us. David reminds himself in prayer and praise to the Lord based on his offerings, based on the offering of Jesus Christ. His strength is in the sanctuary of the Lord, an accepted offering. Our lives are to be offerings. We dedicate our lives by giving our tithe to the church. That dedicates our whole lives to His service. It is an accepted offering. David reminds himself in praise, remembering, remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. And then we have that weird word, Selah, which is just an instruction to those who would read these Psalms. And we don't have an understanding of really what that means today. But we must understand that we don't run to God based on how good I am, how strong I am. We come to God based on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Our offerings are not enough to receive anything from God. David reminds God of His offerings. We bring our offerings not as a bargaining chip with God, saying, look, I gave you this much, now you have to help me out here. Yet we know that because of God's grace, He accepts our offerings. He accepts and rewards our service and our worship. The Catechism asks question answer 63, do our good works merit nothing, even though it is God's will to reward them in this life and that which is to come? The reward comes not of merit, but of grace. Jesus says, Luke 17, verse 10, so likewise you, when you have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. But at that same time, we are to remember the sacrifice of Christ, which perfectly merits our eternal life. And so David is not just reminding us and praying in regard to his offerings. He's praying in regards to God's perfect offering of His Son on His behalf, on our behalf. And so we can look to the Lord and know His care, His provision for us from day to day. And so even in trial upon this earth, our eyes are not focused here on the dirt in front of us. Our focus is to be eternal, to the glory of the Lord. And we have the wondrous blessing of the salvation of the Lord. Grant thee, verse 4, according to thine own heart, and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation. In the name of our God, we will set up our banners. The Lord, fulfill all thy petitions. Now I know that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. The purpose of the Lord is granted. The believer's purpose, the counsel of the believer, is to be in service of God. What are we desiring to do? What are our desires upon this earth? What is our counsel, our direction? Wisdom is in the fear and the service of the Lord. And so our purpose as a Christian upon this earth is to glorify the Lord. To use this world to the Lord's glory. Genesis 1 verse 27 and 28. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. We are the image of God within this world. We are to be ruling over this world, to use this world to the glory of God. We dedicate it to the glory of God. Think about something in this world. If a dog eats his dog food, is he glorifying the Lord in that? Well, certainly in certain ways. But if I give that dog the dog food, train him to serve me, and use him, whether it be for hunting or whatever it's good to use him for, that dog food has been used to the glory of God. And so we use this world. We dedicate our lives to the service of God. Our purpose in this world is to use it. We have a whole bunch of people worried about running out of oil. Guess what? 200 years ago, that oil was just a pain in the rear end. Before they knew how to use cars and that sort of thing, that oil was just in the way. The tar pits on the south end of the Sea of Galilee killed all sorts of people. Well, now they're empty because they're used for the oiling of our vehicles. Guess what? God told us to use this world. When we run out of oil, we'll use something else. We're not going to run out of oil. That's another question, another problem, with an unbelieving perspective on these things. But we are to use this world to the service of God. Joshua 24 verse 15. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land will you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's what we're here for. To serve the Lord. To use this world to glorify the Lord. And so what are our plans upon this earth? Well, by God's grace, our plans ought to be conformed to the service and the glory of our God. Those who believe on the Lord rejoice. Verse 5, we rejoice in thy salvation in the name of our God. We will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. We rejoice in the Lord's salvation. Now certainly, David had a number of times that he could look back on writing this psalm, saying, look what God had done for him upon this earth. God's salvation upon this earth. We can look back again over our lives and see what God has done for us again and again and again. But we also have to look and see the eternal grace of God, the eternal salvation which God has given to us. We are to have joy in the Lord's delivering hand upon this earth. We are to have joy in the eternal saving hand of our God. Isaiah 12, verse 12, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation." The Lord is our strength and our song. We put up banners in the name of the Lord. Banners are to be seen, not hidden. Do they set up the flag at the courthouse inside the building? No. They put it out so that people can see it. No, brothers and sisters, our lives are to demonstrate salvation, that others may see it and not forget about it. We talked about the standing stones so that others may see. We've got a few churches in the RCLS called Ebenezer. That means rock in Hebrew. Well, why are they called rocks? That's not just referring to Christ. We are called to be living stones, 1 Peter tells us. 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2, verses 9 through 10. "For you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." We are to have banners to the name of Christ so that others, when they see us, might glorify our God. We are saved by our God. We see the earthly demonstration of God's salvation for His people. Throughout the life of David, he spent a lot of time in trouble. And yet, God provided and cared for him, us, for His people. And God cares for us as well. God gives to us the knowledge of salvation. God's hand doesn't change. God's care for us doesn't change. He cared for us and He will care for us eternally. The psalmist says, Psalm 3, verse 6, "I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around." We don't have to fear. As we said, if we only see, and if we are so blinded that we just see the physical aspect of this world, we're fools. Greater are those who are with us than those who are against us. We are reminded of the eternal salvation of our God. "Now I know that the Lord saveth His anointed. He will hear him from His holy heaven with the saving strength of His right hand." Eternal salvation. Habakkuk 3, verse 18. "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." God's salvation, God's saving of us upon this earth, reminds us of His eternal salvation. We remember the fourth commandment. Deuteronomy 5, verses 12 through 15, "Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son nor your daughter, nor your male servant nor your female servant, nor your ox nor your donkey, nor any of your cattle, nor the stranger who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." The Sabbath day, Sunday, our day of rest, is a day for us to enjoy the first fruits, the beginning of heaven upon this earth. Resting from the labors to which God has cursed man because of our sins. We have that first fruits upon this earth. Because we know that as we live upon this earth, it is in our hands that provide the food that we eat. If they did, it would be much more meager. But God blesses our labors upon this earth. And so God's earthly salvation for the people of Israel points us to the heavenly rest for those who believe on Him. And so, brothers and sisters, as we consider the blessing of the Lord's salvation, we are saved not in our own strength. We're provided for upon this earth, not in our own strength, but in the strength of the Almighty God. And so, brothers and sisters, as we continue then through the psalm, he says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord. Let the King hear us when we call. We trust in the name of the Lord. God's name is more powerful than the most powerful thing upon this earth. Now, chariots at that time were tanks. You can't do much to stop a tank on this earth. Think of Israel with Egypt in the Red Sea, Exodus 14, verse 21 through 25. Again and again, God stopped the chariots. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind that night and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground. And the waters were a wall to them on their right and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, and all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. Now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the armies of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians. And he took off their chariot wheels so that they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them and against the Egyptians." We trust in the name of the Lord, not in a man's power, but in God's power. God says to Israel, Isaiah 31, verse 1, "Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help, and rely on horses, who trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen, because they are very strong. But do not look to the Holy One of Israel, nor seek the Lord." We trust in the name of our God. This is one of the reasons that taking God's name in vain is so wrong. Exodus 20, verse 7. "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." God's not going to hold those who take his name in vain guiltless. They're guilty. That's a pretty heavy judgment. And so Israel stands proud in the Lord, and we ought stand proud in the Lord. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. We stand proud. Our pride, our trust ought not be in me, ourselves, but in God's almighty hand, in His name, as we just saw. That's one of the problems of our nation today. Our hope is in the power of America, not in God's power. When asked if God was on the Union side in the Civil War, Lincoln answered, "The question is not, is God on our side? Are we on God's side?" I'm sad to say, in most of the recent wars, we haven't had any good reason to do them. And if we do not have righteousness on our side, we're going to lose. If we do not trust in the Lord, if we're trusting in our power, we're going to lose. When we have pride, we are pointing to ourselves, pointing to our power. Jesus says, Matthew 11, verse 23, "And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. If the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day." God has worked mightily His salvation. and we dare not turn our backs upon it. God has given to us His wondrous Word so that we might see. Our pride, our ability to stand, our ability to breathe comes from the Almighty God. And we had better trust in Him, not in ourselves. And the psalmist ends, "Save, Lord, let the King hear when we call. God hears us." Brothers and sisters, this is amazing. We looked in the canons of Dort this morning and we saw that God has every right to send us to hell. But not only has God saved us and given us a second chance, but much more beyond that, He has given us eternal life. It's not a second chance that we can do whatever we want to with it. It is eternal life. And God hears our prayers. Our King is our God. As the psalmist says, "Let the King hear us when we call." We've been seeing that Christ is our King on the radio program, that Christ our King went to the cross for us. We are brought into the presence of God. We read in Hebrews 10 verses 19 and 20. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He consecrated for us through the veil that is His flesh. We have access to God in Christ Jesus. And so, brothers and sisters, as we consider the wonders of our Savior, as we consider the grace of our God, as we consider David praying to God for the Lord's salvation blessings, we have those blessings, brothers and sisters. That's the wonder, that's the joy that we have. We have God's care for us each and every day. We have God's salvation freely given to us upon this earth. We have the blessing that we can trust in the Lord. Not in princes, not in chariots. That the Lord's hand is over all. And so, brothers and sisters, God gave His only begotten Son that we might have eternal life. How much more shall He with Him give us every good gift? Amen.